Hello and welcome to RV Small Talk, where we talk about lightweight trailers, truck campers, and the people, places, and adventures that go along with them. We're your hosts from Princess Craft RV. I'm PJ.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Clint. And thanks for taking a listen this week. You can find RV Small Talk wherever you find your favorite podcast. And for more adventures, you can always follow us on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter and wherever else. We are at rvsmalltalk.com for show notes and for all the links from the show and whatever else I can think to put in there.
All right.
We want to thank our amazing sponsor, New Camp, for believing in this podcast. They make the tab and the tag and the Cirrus truck camper. They're all innovative. They're all amazing, stylish, quality products from Ohio, the heart of Amish country. It's just really great products. So thanks, New Camp.
Yes, thank you, New Camp. We sure appreciate it.
So what are we going to talk about in this episode?
Well, I think we're going to start out by just talking about the Barefoot trailer that has kind of hit the news that New Camp is about to ramp up on.
Okay. And I have some news on some neat equipment from Garmin. They're kind of turning your RV into a smart home on wheels.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And then there's the 12-volt compressor-driven refrigerator that we're starting to see in all of our units. That's another kind of a high-tech innovation that I think is worth talking about for a little while.
Very good. And then for this week's interview, we're going to look at the Don't Wait project. And we had Lisa Bradshaw from the project on. And Lindsay, you got to sit down and talk with her. So let's bring that in later on.
Some cool stuff coming up.
Y'all ready?
Yep.
Let's do this.
Let's go. So let's talk about that Barefoot trailer.
Yes.
Everyone else is. We should too.
That's so true. Well, last September, I had the chance to meet Kathy and Ben, and they were over here with New Camp at the open house in the fall showing the Barefoot trailer, and they brought that over. It is made in the UK. Kathy developed it, and it's in production over there, and New Camp was looking at building it here. A few weeks ago, they actually announced that they are planning to build it. They finally got everything started and finalized. It will be built and out in the market in 2020 sometime. So we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And we got to visit with Kathy and Ben again at RVX and get in the trailer. And we have some footage. And we also got to kind of hear their views on it. It was interesting to learn about some of the issues of trying to take a trailer that's built in the UK and bring it over here and build it in the US.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't even think about that.
Yeah. So,
but how is the Barefoot different than other trailers besides it being an adorable little Easter egg?
Sure. Why would it be interesting for New Camp to take this on?
Well, if you haven't seen it, then
It's an Easter egg.
It does look like an Easter egg on wheels because it's what they call a monocoque construction. So it's literally one piece. People like Casita or other people, our Northern Light truck campers, you know, they have an ABS mold. So it's like two boat holes and they put it together and there's a seam around the middle. Mm-hmm. And this one is one piece.
So it's kind of like when I was growing up, I would take a balloon, blow it up, and then like string all around it with a glue or something
and
like that.
And then pop the balloon?
Right. So is that kind of how they build it?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Only they do it in pieces and then they fiberglass the pieces together.
Okay.
But it does come out to be just like an egg. It is a one-piece unit.
It's just the cutest thing.
It is. And that's a very difficult structure to actually copy. Mm-hmm. It is actually made. Ben's company makes the shell. That was one of the hardest things for them to develop. And because Ben's company made sidecars for motorcycles. So they were used to that type of fiberglassing. So anyway, it's going to be a unique product. They're trying to figure out how to replicate it in such a way that it can do justice to the integrity and the styling of the trailer. One of the things they talk about is they want every edge of it to be curved. Mm-hmm. It's not that the front of it is curved kind of coming around the front, it's curved on every corner. So mm-hmm. it truly is built like an egg. And the inside is that way as well. It's very light, very small, very trendy. I'm so excited to see what colors, what styles that New Camp is able to add into this.
Right. How New Camp's going to make it kind of their signature New Camp. Put their New Camp stamp on it, basically.
That's okay. Right. That's right. And, you know, I had some discussions early on. They said, you know, can we really sell one more small retro trailer?
Yes.
Well, I think
if you see the pictures, then
and
you hear the reaction, then yeah. there's a market out there.
Well, yes. And it's always difficult. This is a podcast and not a video where we can show you. But
that's what show notes are for. We'll put some links.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that this is such a viable product because it's different. Anything that's different is going to find a home in the market as long as it's well-made and mm-hmm. useful.
Yeah.
And this has such very cool retro styling that I know that's what New Camp is trying to do, is to preserve the quality and the styling of this camper. So I'm looking forward to seeing that and to see how it actually comes out. And we will keep you updated as it comes along. And I think probably we'll be able to have an interview and some updated video maybe 3 or 4 weeks from now.
Great.
That we'll put out there. So we'll keep you informed on that. But if you have not looked up that Barefoot, it's a great thing to see.
Okay. All right. So the next thing that comes to mind on things that are on the scene that are new is everyone's talking about integrating more and more technology into their RVs. And a company that's right on the cutting edge of that is Garmin. Now, you may know Garmin from GPS because GPS was the hot thing 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
I was going to say, the only thing I know about Garmin is that they were the navigation system.
And they still are.
Do people still use Garmins to
absolutely.
Like find their way?
People just use their phones.
When you're on the road, most people do, but if you're on a boat or if you're in aviation, then they are frontline in those industries.
Didn't even think about
and
that.
And they've branched out into wearable fitness trackers and things like that. They make high-end fitness trackers. They make apps. They're a software company. And what they're doing with all this technology, they're bringing it all together. They make high-end things for RVs and the marine industry that encompass all of your entertainment. It kind of turns your rig into a smart house in the way that you can check all your sensors, your tank levels. You can control your electricity. You can control your lighting. You can operate your awning. I believe there's a setting you can actually operate your bed if you have an adjustable bed. It is all integrated. So think about everything you ever wanted to do in your RV, from zones for speakers, which you can already do. But what about zones for speakers where you can play different music outside in the back bedroom and in the front cab? So there's a lot going on, and I'm barely scratching the surface on it. It's called the Garmin One. And they're working with their Fusion division, Garmin's Fusion division.
So I think that's actually becoming part of the industry pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I saw some of that and I didn't know who it was, but I saw some of this at RVX where you'd walk in and they said, yes, you're going to have smart technology here where everything is mm-hmm. controlled on that screen. And that's a little intimidating to have this dark screen there. And they say, oh yeah, you'll control your, you know, the levels of your tanks. You'll control your TV, your lights, your.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what I saw when I was doing a bit of research on this, is particularly on that big smart tablet, the mm-hmm. big heads up display, you're going to be able to customize your screens. And so let's say if you're a manufacturer and you're building this into your product, then you're going to go ahead and do your own look, your own displays, and you're going to customize it to your product and to that particular rig. One thing that I failed to mention on it is there's some functionality in here where you can, through their GPS system, you can literally put in all the details, the length and the height and the weight of your rig. And Garmin,
so it won't take you under any low
precisely.
Bridges.
That's exactly
amazing.
Right.
Really?
It will actually take into account your specific measurement and rig and guide you safely there to avoid underpasses and things like that.
Is that actually a thing now? Is that available now?
It is. They actually have this available. If you can go look up Garmin One, I'll put some links in the show notes. And it's pretty mind blowing.
So if I have a trailer, I went and bought a trailer last week, doesn't have any of this in it. Can I add this to it?
Yes. So obviously they're going to be marketing this very well to the manufacturers, but you can actually get some of these components. You can find them as a consumer through your dealerships, through, your Amazons and whatnot. You can find components and you can put them together in your own unique system.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I don't know that we have actually ventured into that. What do you think it's going to be like 5 years from now? Is this going to be standard fare?
It's going to be hard for each manufacturer to avoid having this as an option, I think.
Hmm.
I think that as much as you hear on the forums and all that, that's not camping. Okay, fine. I really get that there's so many different philosophies of what camping is. But when you have so many Class A's and big rigs and fifth wheels and all that and beautiful Class B's and all that, people are using their rigs to go places and see things and travel. And this is going to integrate to their connected lifestyle.
And I think the less time that you have to spend doing things like checking your tanks and putting out your awning, if you can just push a couple buttons, then don't you get to spend more time camping and less time setting up or fixing or breaking down? That's how I see it. I think that's a really, really cool thing.
And there's one part of this unit that you can actually, it's connected to your wall or your dash if you're driving, and then it is mobile. You just disconnect it and you can take it outside your rig and still control it from outside
while you're actually camping,
right?
Doing the camping thing,
right? You can plan your trip on your GPS while you're outside under your awning.
That's crazy.
So do you think the entire business of RVs is going to go to apps and technology?
Everything else is.
Think you're going to be hard pressed to avoid it. And yet purists will always be out there. And there's going to be everyone under the sun having their own place where they land on the technology scale, what they want to be connected and disconnected from.
Well, I think the thing that comes to mind is I see this being really helpful as an add-on, if it really is as easy as you say that you can add it on, to people, especially when they keep their animals in the vehicle and they're outside or they go for a short hike or they have to go in to a restaurant or something, and you want to monitor your camper and be sure it doesn't get too hot, that the AC doesn't cut off, or, whatever might happen.
If your dog likes a certain type of music.
Right. And I'm thinking, precisely, they can go to the other side of the camper and control their own. And I think that the growing number of people who are full-timing and work camping.
Exactly.
Is where
that's
this is going to
be. Perfect. Yeah.
And people who are building out their own buses and vans.
Yeah.
They're
you
going
spend
to get these
less
components.
Time doing the not fun stuff and more time doing the fun stuff.
Right. So I think that's where you're going to see a lot of push for this, is because there's a growing community who are doing those types of camping, traveling, living. This is going to be something that's going to be necessary. If you're going to have a smart home on wheels, this is what you need to look into.
Even getting off the grid is connected to technology.
That's right.
You have to tap into the grid to get off.
It's crazy. Well, speaking of, the next thing that we were going to talk about is getting off the grid and using a 12-volt compressor-driven refrigerator. We did a video recently, and it was the retro trailers that came in, and they have started using the 12-volt compressor-driven refrigerators. And so I have really learned a lot about that.
Yeah, and so the big thing that's going to come up with is, but why?
But why?
So tell us
why. Well, I know a lot more about these refrigerators than I do about that Garmin system. But the refrigerators, they're really pretty cool. There is a 10.7 cubic foot refrigerator in that 19-foot retro trailer. And that's huge comparatively. Most of the larger units that we have a 6 cubic foot, maybe an 8. And that is
because on the big side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the standard RV refrigerator that's used has an ammonia solution running through the coils, and it needs space to vent.
Is it another name for that is the heat exchange?
It's a heat exchange, yes. Yeah. So instead of pumping cold air into the refrigerator like your refrigerator does at home, it basically just pulls the hot air out.
Okay.
And so it has to have room to vent. The coolest thing about these compressor-driven refrigerators is that they work just like the one at your house. So they are cooling the air and pushing it into the refrigerator.
So do you still need a vent?
So you don't need any vents on the back. That is one of the coolest things.
What?
It's not vented on the back because it doesn't have all that heat that it has to get rid of. So if it doesn't need all that space for venting,
you gain it back on the inside.
You gain it back on the inside. Exactly. You guys are doing this for me. It's so easy.
We're all learning.
So the refrigerator only needs about 1 inch of space all the way around it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can take up the entire compartment.
Okay.
So that is why they can put a larger refrigerator in these smaller campers if you go with a compressor-driven refrigerator. The biggest thing that people worry about is that if it's 12 volt, it's running strictly off your battery.
Okay. Now, is that... Okay, so it's running strictly off your battery, but if I'm towing my trailer or if I'm at a campground, my battery's constantly being topped off. Even if I have solar panels, I'm able to push some juice towards the battery.
That's right. That's exactly right. So you won't notice any difference at all if you're plugged in at your campsite because that converter is constantly charging that battery, and that battery is running your refrigerator.
Okay.
Right? Now, if you're driving down the road, same thing. Your vehicle's charging the battery. Your refrigerator is running off that battery going down the road.
Okay. And it's efficient enough that you're not losing a game? You know, if you're on one of the more traditional heat exchange refrigerators trying to run off 12 volt, first off, it's not very efficient. It doesn't cool very quickly. But if I'm trying to run that while driving down the road, I'm still draining my battery faster than my vehicle can charge it.
You are, that's for sure. But these compressor-driven refrigerators are much more efficient mm-hmm. with the battery power. So you can go 8 or 10 hours just on one Group 24 Deep Cycle Marine battery.
Mm.
So that is a long time before it needs more charge.
Wow. Does it cool down faster than the others?
It cools down much faster. If you have a standard heat exchange refrigerator, it can take 10, 12 hours to get down to refrigerator temperature. These actually cool in a couple hours. I plugged it in actually while we were doing the video.
Right.
The video took us about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And by the time we were done, it was cold. It was craziest thing. It was really exciting to me. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, because it can really change how you camp. And so if you wanted to be off grid and mm-hmm. you weren't plugged in at a campsite, that's when people are going to worry. But if you put a solar panel out there to charge during the day, it's actually going to recharge during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Your refrigerator will run all night. So you will have continuous refrigerator power.
Okay.
Throughout the day.
Besides having to keep your battery charged, is there anything else that's not good about this fridge? It sounds like the perfect fridge.
Well, there are a couple of things that are maybe a little bit of a concern, and you got to keep your battery charged. That's always the biggest thing.
Right.
You know, but with proper solar panels, even if you have a down day, you know, you can always turn on your vehicle, charge up your battery a little bit, do a solar charger. You can have a couple of extra batteries, have two batteries on your trailer instead of one. That's going to give you more power to make it through maybe 2 days if you have a non-charging day.
Mm-hmm.
But still very good for boondockers. The other thing is, it does make a little noise. I used to get calls from people who will say, you know, I'm not sure if my refrigerator's working because it's not making any noise.
Right.
The RV refrigerators, they don't make any noise. They're very, they're silent. They're not quiet. They're silent.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a compressor-driven refrigerator, it's just like the one at your house.
Yeah.
It makes a little hum.
I guess the refrigerator
hum.
At my house makes some noise.
Right. But we're so used to it.
Yeah, you just get used to it. Yeah. And it is just a little hum. It's not noisy, but it is a noise. And, you know, when we're out in our trailer, people are so much more susceptible to any noise at all. A little clicking on a fan or a little hum
of
a converter. And you're going to notice it because it's so quiet. So... you will hear a little bit from that refrigerator. Of course, here in Texas in the summer, you're going to have the air conditioner running anyway. So, I don't know. Most people are a little worried about those before they know a lot about it. So I kind of wanted to talk about just how great I think these are for the industry.
Cool. So as much as I was talking about the Garmin system and things going like a smart home,
yep.
Are we going to see more of these?
I think so. They have had a very warm reception into the industry. People are looking for larger refrigerators. Mm-hmm. That's what we see a lot of times when people come in looking for refrigerators. They want more space.
Right.
So, you know what? I would love to hear from anybody out there listening who has worked with a smart system in a trailer. Or in their home, and what you think about how that would fit in a trailer, or anybody who has worked with a 12-volt refrigerator, because this is what we see as the pros and cons, but I would love to hear some honest feedback of somebody who has traveled with these to see how they felt it worked for them.
User experience. We need it.
That's right. Always. It's always fun to get feedback, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, the technological part of camping is always changing.
So we just got back from the 7th annual Texas Truck Camper Rally. I cannot believe we've been doing this for 7 years. But I feel like we're getting better and better at it. Maybe one day we'll actually be, organized and put together. But
I felt like I left exhausted in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot to do. We had over 50 truck campers. I think it was like 52 or 53 truck campers, over 100 people. And so many people, this was their first year. And that always means a lot to me. Seems really exciting. I love to see our friends every year, and it's just great to have a whole group of new truck camperers.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Good work.
Join us and see what it's all about.
So one thing I love about this truck camper rally, and probably what I would appreciate about any truck camper rally, is a lot of these guys, they travel all over. They are real adventurers, but during their travels, unless they go to a truck camper rally, they may never run across another truck camper.
So that's what we were talking about, actually, at the rally. When I was interviewing people, we were talking about why rallies are important in the truck camping community. And every single time we would talk about how truck campers will never, see other truck campers.
Right.
And the fact that we had 52 truck campers in one park, and so everybody got to be around.
Right.
Their people, right? Because we all know that truck camper people are truck camper people.
Yeah, they're different than trailer
different
people.
Different in a good way, but they do have like that mentality, and it's so great when they all get together. You get to actually share ideas with other people with truck campers instead of just a trailer or something like that. It's just really, really cool to see. And we got those comments over and over again.
Right.
I've never seen this many truck campers. A lot of people don't even know what truck campers are or still think it's like the ones that their grandpa had. You know, they have no concept of what they are now. So seeing how many different truck campers did we have? I mean, we literally had brand new, just picked up truck campers.
Right.
We had truck campers that people had owned for over 20 years.
And what was the one that stole the show this year?
Here it is.
It is the weirdest thing.
I'm in love. It was a Bronco, a maroon Bronco from the 90s.
Not a Bronco truck camper.
No,
Bronco truck.
A Bronco
truck that was... beautiful and shiny. And they had put a truck camper on the back of it. And
it wasn't a let's make this fit. It was a it was sealed
on there.
It was a cut and paste.
It was a pop-up truck camper. And the whole, so the truck camper and the Bronco were like one. It was like a class
C.
C. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was, it was just the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it had like people around it constantly.
Right.
The poor people had to give tours. And then behind it, they towed this camo trailer that would carry their stuff. It was just super fun and innovative.
Very
and
unique.
I loved it so much. And again, that's, you know, truck camper people are truck camper people. And we had all kinds of truck campers.
Right.
You know, one of the things I like the best is when we do the tours, because we have two afternoons where there's designated times where you can actually just go look at other people's truck campers, and we have specific ones. It's pretty fun. And I really liked listening to people say, I didn't look at this one when I bought mine, or I didn't know they made them like this.
Oh, I already had three people like tell me they were gonna, you know, change to this truck camper, upgrade to this one, or, oh yeah, this will be our next truck camper.
Yeah, I hadn't seen one like this. I didn't know they made them with a island. I didn't know they made them with three slide outs. I didn't know they made them with a, you know, whatever. It was just, it was interesting to see everybody excited about seeing the different options out there.
And the modifications, the modifications, the modifications.
Yeah, everybody changes.
When they get into their rig and they go out on a few trips, they start really making these things their own. And they're geniuses.
Well, they have to. It's kind of just like the tiny trailer people. When you have such a limited space, you're not in a giant fifth wheel. So you have to be really creative. You have to be creative with storage, like that Bronco with the truck camper on it. They had the floor underneath the dinette would come up, and that's where they kept their shoes. And it was the,
it was a trick
check
system.
Out yeah, check out the show notes. We'll have a picture of that Bronco, because it is just so cool. But yeah, you have to get innovative, and you have to kind of make things up and figure it out, because it's not like, this is really common. And again, it's not like you're in a fifth wheel. So trading ideas, sharing ideas, trying to figure out what works. It's the truck camper way.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that I think is so unusual, we have a tiny trailer rally too, but the truck camper rally, there's families there. Mm-hmm. There is older folks. There's younger couples. There is people. Every type of person was there. I mean, I just, it just was all kinds of campers. So it was really fun. I have to say, we had great music this year.
We did. We had Devin Jake join us this year, and it was really fun. He had a couple musicians play with him. Their band was called
Little Darlin'.
Little Darlin'.
And they, we have music. We have a band play every Saturday night, and we have dancing, and we have a couple of fun things where you can win all kinds of cool prizes. And so that was really fun.
Well, they kind of played into it too, and they were giving away CDs with us. And
yeah, it was just a big party.
Yeah, it was. And we had so much participation with the dancing, and that always makes it really fun when you have a really full dance floor.
Yes.
I even had two people just insist that they are not dancers. They we're not dancers. I said, you don't have to dance. Just come check out the band.
Right.
Two songs later, guys, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, they're dancing.
They were dancing.
And everybody dances.
We had kids dancing. We had people who had no idea how to dance. And it's just, it's the whole atmosphere of it. It's just fun and silly.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Right?
It is fun.
And of course, we're coming down off the barbecue and the beer and wine tasting.
I was going to say, yeah. So all of this dancing is after our barbecue dinner that Lance actually sponsored for us.
Thank you, Lance.
It was awesome. And the dinner was after the beer and wine tasting. So we had quite an evening of beer and wine tasting, barbecue, and then dancing.
Get everyone loose, really heavy and full, and then play some upbeat music
and
from
the
distance.
Yeah.
Burn the calories.
I thought our beer and wine tasting was interesting this year because usually we have literally straight down the middle, half beer and half wine. And this year we had
beer.
Beer and beer and more beer. We had people.
It was a beer group.
We had people who were part owners in breweries bring just cases of beer.
Yes.
We had people who brought alcoholic still water, which I'm still not thoroughly convinced this still water. You got to put some bubbles in it for me to drink it. It just tastes weird. It tastes like flat.
Well,
alcohol.
It tasted like just slightly flavored water, but it's like 4.5% alcohol.
But like with the weird alcohol aftertaste.
Okay, I'm going to who brought it?
I don't remember.
Was it the O'Shaughnessy's?
Yeah, it was.
There we go.
Oh, my goodness.
We're calling you out, O'Shaughnessy's.
Oh, man, she didn't like it either, though. It was so funny. We were trying to figure it out all weekend if we actually liked it. But we also had some homemade apple pie moonshine. And wine tasting, and it was dangerous good.
Yes, it was. It definitely was. So, and it did not have a weird aftertaste.
Not
no,
sure
it didn't.
I get to share that recipe in the show notes, but I have the recipe.
You do? You got it?
I'm not saying where it is.
Everybody wanted it. He wouldn't give it up. All right. And let's see.
So much fun.
Ooh,
so much
the chili
fun.
Cook-off was also really cool. Of
course, yeah.
Every year we have so much chili, guys.
A competitive chili cook-off.
We have a very competitive group. We have always done a chili cook-off on Friday night. And I mean, Friday afternoon, the place stops because everyone goes to cook
their
chili.
Is in their camper cooking their chili. We had, we have a lot of traditional chilies, but we have a lot of people who obviously want to step up their game and make it different.
And we have people from way not in Texas.
Right? Who put the beans in the chili.
We
forgive them because it's so good. But we had chili with bacon in it. We had chili with deer in it. Mm-hmm. He called it Bambi chili.
Because he's twisted.
Which, of course, was probably not a favorite of our couple vegans. But they made vegan chili. We had two different vegan chilies. And they were really good.
Yes. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good, both of them. And we have white chili. We always have a white chili winner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And traditional, we have a wild game chili contest. So I don't know.
It was really fun.
It was just a whole weekend of fun.
We had really good weather, mostly. We had a thunderstorm, but that was mostly at night. So, you know, everybody's already in their campers.
The rains passed through at the right times.
Right. But do you remember what happened Friday night?
Yes. And I'm going to put pictures up on this one because it was
the pictures
magical.
Don't even do it justice, though. It was gorgeous. Like, if you look out over the sea of truck campers, there was a giant full arc double rainbow over all the truck campers. It was going from one truck camper all the way to the other. It was so cool. People were coming out of their trailers and walking all the way to the back of the field so they could get the entire rainbow in their picture, because I couldn't do it without a panoramic picture. It wouldn't work. It was so cool. And we all stood out there and looked up at the sky for a while.
That was after a horrendous thunderstorm that blew through in about 30 minutes.
It was fast.
Yeah.
But it was horrendous.
And the weather was, the skies cleared afterwards. The rainbows came out and the cactus flower opened up.
The cactus flower. You have to put that picture up too.
I'll put that picture as well.
I think the best part about that rainstorm was it was during dinner. It was during the chili cook-off and everybody just kind of stood up and was like, everybody put your awnings in, and like it was this collective grab your lawn chairs and put your awnings in and let's help each other, because you know, in a thunderstorm most people are like stay inside, and of course truck camper people are like save the awning.
Yes.
So we had a mass exodus and then they all came back.
They all came
and
back.
Played bingo with PJ.
Yeah, that was fun too.
Okay. So, that was a fun time. So if you've got a truck camper and you'd like to join us next year,
what if you don't have a truck camper?
You know what? I don't think we have ever turned anyone down.
No.
Right. What if you're interested? Well, come on and
that's probably the best place to look at all the truck campers.
I mean, there's going to be upwards of 50 truck campers with people who have experience doing it to ask all your invasive questions.
Sounds like the place.
All right.
Year 8, 2020. Come join us. It'll be fun. So I can't wait to jump into this interview with Lisa Bradshaw. The Don't Wait Project. This is just such an inspirational tour that she's doing around the country to talk to people who are changing lives one way or the other. So
Right. And she passed through just recently here at our dealership, and we got a chance to sit down with her, and you got to ask her some questions and have her fill us in. And if you're listening right now, you can probably hear the rain on our roof. Because it is coming down hard.
Awesome.
But let's get to that interview.
Hey guys, I'm here with Lisa Bradshaw and the Don't Wait Project. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so we are so excited about your adventure you're about to go on.
You guys are treating me so well. I'm so happy to have you here to guide me through this whole new trailer situation.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun. So much fun. Tell me a little bit, first off, about the Don't Wait Project. What exactly are you doing?
So I founded the Don't Wait Project in 2011. Mm-hmm. I am a cancer survivor, but what really sparked the reason for founding it is I lost my husband when I was 32 in 2004, and I was writing my second book. It was titled Big Shoes, and I was thinking a lot about the readers and what they might take away from it. It's a pretty difficult read, and I thought, what can I give to the reader who has dedicated 382 pages of their time and energy and empathy to our family? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it a lot, and ultimately, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning one day and had this idea about trying to create a movement, or at least place the thought in people's heads to not wait to do the things that are important. And to live the nouns in their lives. I call it the nouns, the people, places, things, and ideas. Mm-hmm. And we give up on those things along the way for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know, we get too tired, too bored, too sad. There are all kinds of reasons. And so now I really focus on spreading that message. And the Don't Wait Project, we have other programs as well that really try to, it's a storytelling vehicle is what it's become.
Wow. That's really cool. And it fits so well with a lot of what we see here, a lot of people who are maybe older and set, and, you know, we hear it all the time. I wish I didn't, you know, wait so long to do this, but I'm going to do it now. So that's
I think the part about the project that works so well is you just start where you are.
Yeah.
If you've never thought about living your life this way, it means different things to different people. Not everyone's going to get on the road and travel across the country.
Of course. Yeah.
But some people will just change the way they start their day or their interaction with the people they care about, or we've received letters from people who made career changes. It's all types of people who go to the doctor when they'd put it off. So it's different for everyone, but everyone has a don't wait story. That's what
I've
figured out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you did this last year, right? You did this tour last year?
I did. So my son left for college a year ago in the fall, and we're pretty tight, and it's been pretty much just the two of us all these years since his dad passed away, and I really needed a plan B for when he left home. And I thought about this for a couple of years before he finished high school and wasn't sure. I thought of a couple of different ways to travel and thought I might build myself a tiny house, thought, you know, different ways that I might get around the country. And I saw the tag trailer and I was like, I absolutely love that design. And I just thought it would create this adorable spectacle on the road.
Absolutely.
And I thought if I wrap my car, because I had done a small tour in my Honda that I'd had wrapped and traveled for my book tour in, but this would need to be, I need to be able to sleep,
right,
you know, in places and camp. And so I went alone last year, 7 Western states, and Town Toyota, the dealership where I live in Wenatchee, Washington, they sponsored the whole trip. And I wrapped my car and pulled a tag along those 7 states and interviewed people. Some of the stories were planned ahead. You know, we scheduled the tour. There's always a story scheduled in each state. And then some stories came from people camping next to me or someone who stopped me on the street because they saw the wrapped car and the and the tag and wondering what I was doing. And gas stations.
You
anywhere.
Filmed it all yourself?
I did. I got a camera. Well, Toyota got me the camera and a Canon 70D. And yeah, I did all the interviewing. And I have a television show in Wenatchee called Life with Lisa Bradshaw. And
okay.
It aired there. And I edited as I went and sent the show in for production every week, which was a really grueling and unrealistic schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. My computer crashed the last 2 weeks, which was actually a blessing in disguise. I knew it was going to happen soon. And I had backup and all of that. But it really freed me up for the last couple of weeks to see how I really want to do it this time and not edit from the road, just produce the show when I get back. And then because Toyota National matched Toyota, Town Toyota's budget, we were able to hire a cinematographer this time who's traveling with me. So he has his own.
Good.
This year, New Camp is actually sponsoring the trip as well. And they provided two tab trailers, which, man, it feels like a mansion in there.
Wow, yeah.
So excited to have a bathroom and, you know, be able to stand up and move around. The hard part about, you know, when you're driving so much as opposed to staying in one place, you know, I was on a pretty tight schedule, 6 weeks, seven states with probably 20 stories. So, you know, if I wasn't sitting in a car, you know, or sitting in an interview. So this will be good. This will be a good transition just because I think, you know, now knowing I'll be on the road for 6 weeks and there's two of us.
And you have someone helping you.
Yes, have someone helping me. And that's going to be huge. And
we always talk about how people camp differently, right? There's no wrong way to camp. We deal a lot here with the lightweight, the smaller stuff, the truck campers. But man, do what you want to do. Be comfortable. And if that's in a huge fifth wheel, then do it.
I met a lot of people on the tour as well who, you know, couples who are married and both, you know, IT people or travel from work from their campers or in their trailers and just carving it out in a whole different way.
Oh, yeah. Since the Don't Wait project became kind of a job for you, I mean, not kind of, it's a job for you now. Is it hard to remember that it's supposed to be fun and you're supposed to not wait? I mean, is the Don't Wait project your Don't Wait project? Does that
make
sense?
Very good question. No one's ever asked me that before. It doesn't feel like work at all.
Okay.
I started this project. It's a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. We have an anti-bullying program that I have a partner out of New York, Mike Feirstein, who had this amazing idea for kids to write, direct, film, produce their own PSA about bullying and character development. And he's in a school right now, I think in Washington, working on that. We work with schools all over the country. So that's one of the programs. We've done exhibits in our community. It's a lot of real incredible content. I'm just so blessed. And I created this because I wanted to help people. And I've bought, you know, my parents got me my first typewriter when I was 8 years old. And I just wanted to tell stories. Mm-hmm. So to get to do that. But mostly I was trying to build a career that enabled me to be home by 3 o'clock every day when my son got home.
I totally understand that.
And it did that. And it also, having the television show, and before that, I had a radio show. And it's now that he's gone, you know, I can go and, you know, he's on his spring break here with me and then he'll go back to Washington. And then I have, you know, 6 weeks on the road. And when I get back, he'll be back a few days later for the summer. And it works.
It does.
It works. I had a really hard transition when he left home and I really needed to figure out who I was without him there every day. And I know a lot of parents go through it. You probably meet tons of empty nesters, kind of thinking, what is next? Mm-hmm. And this is just what was next for me. I'll do one more tour again next year. Toyota's committed to that, one more.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'll come up with something.
Maybe
new.
A tab 400 next time.
I'm hoping, because I think that wouldn't that be a great arc, you know, to have started in the tag and then
all
had the tab
teardrops?
And then go up to the 400.
I think.
I think that's the idea. But that's a good question, because I don't think of it as work. And what is it they say? Figure out how to do something you love and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
if you love what you do, it's not work or something like that.
All of those things.
Yeah. Aw. Well, that's super inspiring. Can I come with you?
You know what's so funny is last year I had one of my best friends came and met me and traveled a lot of the desert with me because I was alone the whole time. So I just didn't think it was a great idea for me to travel by myself through the desert. And so she met up with me and we went to the Grand Canyon, and there was a picture I really wanted to take in front of the Grand Canyon. And we got that with the tag and the car wrapped and everything. And then I had a, you know, just so having a guest traveler. Mm-hmm. So then people were saying this time, hey, I'll meet you. Hey, I'll meet you over here. Hey, and I said, I'm actually working. Mm-hmm. So I can't. That was I had a couple days off and I knew that I could fit that in. But now I know. And that's the good thing, too, because Caleb is his name, who's traveling with me. He actually flies into Austin in a couple of days and we leave from here on the 25th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've already been talking about our plans and I've said to him, you know, this does work. This doesn't work because I already know. And even in terms of his contract and how many days a week we're on the road, we can't work a 5-day work week because I told him we can't sit somewhere for 2 days waiting to get to a story.
Right.
It doesn't make sense when we could drive 3 hours, take the rest of that day off right. and film the next day. So there would never be a 60-hour work week, but it doesn't make sense to not be on the road at least, mm-hmm. you know, 6 or 7 days a week.
So. I think a lot of people have a misconception of we have a few people who travel and work. Live in their campers or just take, you know, really, really long trips and work from the road. And I think there's a common misconception of, oh, like, this is so much fun. And all you do is play all day and get to see really cool things. And the reality of it is I know a lot of it is sitting in your camper on a computer trying to finish because you have deadlines just like everyone else. And it's fun. And, you know, you're blessed to be able to go see these things, but it's work.
It is. And the thing about my career is I've always built it to be able to work from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I edit 3 magazines and I write 3 columns and I am editing the show. And so I still have all of those jobs when I'm on the road, mm-hmm. in addition to the tour and getting to meet people and interview people. And that's what's going to be so great about having Caleb with me is, you know, I am not a filmmaker, but I am a storyteller. And
right.
so having him there to film the storytelling
lets you focus.
It takes
on
it to a whole other level.
What you're
It'll
good
be
at.
More mm-hmm. documentary style. I'll have more interaction. So many times when I'd meet someone for the first time, just that first 3, 4, 5 minutes, that interaction was completely missed because I'm introducing myself. I'm setting up a camera. Mm-hmm. And we know now, like, let's catch that. Might not be interesting, but we might miss something if we don't film
right.
it. So there's those kinds of things. And we'll use 2 cameras. We'll tripod and then he'll move around with his. And, you know, he's fantastic. He does amazing work. He'll be catching time lapses in the morning of the sunrise while I'm still sleeping, you know, or while I'm working on doing
right.
something else. So I assured him it is an intense travel schedule, but some of his work will be just being in his pajamas editing
yeah.
highlights for the week that we use on social media.
Yeah.
So we have Instagram and Facebook. Don't Wait Project. The website is don'twaitproject.org, and I will be blogging and vlogging from the road as well.
Okay.
So we're you know, going to produce a lot of fun, you know, Facebook Lives and highlights every week of maybe 2 or 3 that we edit and put to music and just try to show where we've been. One of the things that people said last year who followed the tour said, I just didn't know where you were. And that was purposeful because I was alone. Mm-hmm. So I'd say, hey, thanks, LA. We're on our way to Arizona. I was
right.
pretty vague.
Right.
And so now I know a bit about how we'll handle that, but also just being able to share it in the moment, mm-hmm. how we can with social media as opposed to
afterwards,
only waiting for the show at the end.
Yeah.
So there's just different ways that we have planned to manage content, really. We have our first story in Austin. A woman who was kidnapped as a child and has made it her mission to teach forgiveness and travel the world studying forgiveness. And so the stories are pretty, you know, last year's stories, all different kinds. And that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, through the diversity of these stories, there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
Someone will relate to something that we're doing out there. So that's our first story. And then we're heading to Dallas.
Okay.
And this amazing young girl who's conducted bone marrow donation swabs, drives, they're called bone marrow drives, for years trying to find a match for herself and other people. And she found a match finally for herself last fall and had her transplant. And I'm a huge advocate for bone marrow transplant advocacy as well as organ transplant. And April is Organ Donation Awareness Month. And I did lose my husband after his double lung transplant. And I will be returning to Alabama, where his transplant took place 15 years ago, and participating in their annual donor picnic, which is about 2,000 people, and they're impacted one way or another through wow. organ donation. And I'll get to meet people who might be meeting someone who has their loved one's heart yeah. or and they're meeting for the first time.
Oh, man.
So I, you know, it's just a whole lot of different stories. I could go on and on and on, but we've spent months researching
yeah.
and reaching out. And that's the other thing, too, is it was nice to be able to explain to people what this is and say, hey, go take a look at the website and see what we've already done.
Because mm-hmm.
then the credibility is there.
Mm-hmm.
They can trust us mm-hmm. with their story.
And they can see that there's something for everyone, like you said. Like, they're all different and there's a whole, yeah.
A lot of people say, yeah. Well, why, you know, my story is not that interesting. Why, not really sure. I've never been interviewed. And then, you know, 20 minutes in, maybe they even start to realize their own worth mm-hmm. because we saw value in it from the beginning, however we came to them. Sometimes it was, we did research on GoFundMes. We've researched the news. We've posted on social media asking people for stories of someone they know and then people we knew who knew someone. Mm-hmm. So we've gone about it in every possible way. And some of those people certainly, you know, weren't in the public eye about their story yet. They hadn't been on the news. They weren't sure what to share or how to share it. And that's my job, is to make them comfortable.
Yeah,
and
they were help waiting tell their story. For something like this.
Right.
So. Lisa, you're super inspiring.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. You know, right away, New Camp said, oh, you're leaving from Austin. We have this really great dealership that will, you know, take good care of you. And so they had the trailers, the tabs mm-hmm. shipped here. And you guys have taken great care of it. You even washed the car that Toyota sent out before
I picked
it up.
We tucked them in every night.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So I'm taking mine today.
Yay!
We're leaving the other one until Caleb arrives next week.
And what color is your tab?
I think it's silver. It's silver and a little black or something. And then my my car is a Highlander from Toyota, and we mm-hmm. wrapped it, and it's got all the logos and all the messages.
I saw it. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, we just went with the same exact design I did last year.
No, it's awesome. It has don't wait suggestions yeah. all over it.
To say I love you, to yeah. explore the outdoors, to see a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's all there on the car. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this, too. People are really kind to me on the road. I've been in Los Angeles traffic. I've been in Denver. I've been all over the country, that side of the country. And my dad travels in his, he and my mom travel in their fifth wheel. And he's like, nobody's nice to me. And I said, I don't know. I use my blinker. And perhaps they're reading the car and thinking, they'll be nice to this girl who's, you know, got this message on her car. I have no explanation Aww. For it other than, you know, it's served its purpose mm-hmm. because I'm at a gas station and people ask questions, and then I'm on the freeway and people let me get into the other lane. So
yeah. And anybody with a New Camp product knows that every time you stop for gas, you're going to have to give a tour.
Right. And that became a little bit invasive. I felt I was doing, you know, events
mm-hmm.
and this woman would come up. This one woman came up to me and she said, well, let me see. And I thought, well, I didn't even make my bed today. You know,
yeah.
like I'm going to yeah. let them see my bedroom, but they do want to see. So this will be a different experience because I actually have, you know, a little more space to show that. But
and they'll still want to see.
They'll yeah. still want to see it. They'll still want to see it. I think I'll just leave the windows open. They can look.
Yeah,
in
there you go. Absolutely.
So you got people walking through your house, you know.
Yeah,
that's the sort
it
of
is,
thing.
It is kind of weird. I see people just or hear people talking about it all the time. Like, be prepared to give a lot of tours.
Yeah, so. I think it's just it's so good looking and so functional and so much fun to be in, and everywhere I go, either people have seen them and want one, or they've never seen them and they're just
and they want one.
Fascinated. Yes, exactly.
So let's
I know you already said it, but go ahead and tell us again where we can find you everywhere. You have a TV show, Facebook. Where can we find you and where can we follow this project and keep up?
Don't Wait Project is our Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
And our website is don'twaitproject.org.
Okay.
On the website, if you go to the tour link, it'll show you all the episodes from last year's tour.
Oh, fun.
I think there's 9 of them.
Okay.
Between the 7 states. And then once the tour is over, I'd imagine by mid-May, we'll start airing a show a week. I have to get back and start editing them. But I'll be gone for 6 weeks. I'll return to Washington early May, maybe first day or two of May. So we leave from Austin on March 25th and travel about 12 states. I've said 13, but it's looking like it's going to be 12 all along the South and then up along the states, the neighboring states.
Okay.
And down Oklahoma and back to Austin.
Thank you, Toyota, and thank you, New Camp, for providing Lisa with vehicles, trailers, so she can go and spread good and spread other people's stories of not waiting. So everyone listening, don't wait. Figure out what your don't wait is. If you need some inspiration, you can always check out the Don't Wait Project. I bet you'll find a lot of inspiration there. And
if you know of a story in the South, you can submit it to our website. Oh. We have people vetting that for us.
All right.
If you have a story in mind or you know someone, and even if you think it's not a good fit, just send it. You never know.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And we have plenty of opportunities with the different places we're going to fit that kind of stuff in. Yeah. So,
well, thank you for hanging out with us, and we will see you again on Saturday. We'll, I'm sure, do a big
send off
post blast. So
if you don't post it, it didn't happen.
Oh, it will be posted.
Thank you very much for all your help.
All right. Well, that just about does it for this episode. What do y'all think?
Gosh, so much to talk about, so little time.
Absolutely. Here in the end, we do want to thank New Camp one more time.
They have
sponsored us from the beginning. Now we're on our 4th episode. So thank you, New Camp. Thank you for what you do, what you've done, what you build, for having great products that we love to represent and stand behind.
And all their changes in their 2020 models.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. We just got our new ones in. And so excited, New Camp. Great job.
All right. And if you are looking to connect with us, if you want more information, if you want links and photos, then please check out rvsmalltalk.com. We'll have everything located there. You can also find us on Facebook, and we will make sure to post all future episodes on rvsmalltalk.com and on Facebook. Please subscribe, rate, comment, because those things help us to grow. Whether you're on iTunes or Stitcher or Last.fm or iHeart, it doesn't matter. Help us out.
And if somebody really does want to contact us and tell us about their experiences with either one of the smart control devices, like a Garmin or a 12-volt refrigerator,
sure.
How would they do that?
You know, you can email us at info@rvsmalltalk.com.
There you go.
Or on Facebook. You can message us there.
We might actually be faster through Facebook.
Hey, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye.